T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We love Patron, but you know what we love most? Scotty's Vodka, baby. Handmade in Maryland.
Yeah.
Smooth, baby. Smooth. Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. Nobody celebrates Vodka Red Bull Friday quite like our guy, PFT Commenter. Obviously, there's a lot to discuss, but we got to start with PFT. You are a really big deal in the media world. Have you ever had an intern randomly call you on his cell phone and just ask how you're doing?
I respect that move. That's such a crazy move that I like that guy. He would fit right in amongst the Billy Footballs of the world. That's an insane. Like, cool. I'm glad that it happened. But what was the thought process? Were you thinking that you were gonna call me on the cell and then like hit a button on the cell and it would magically go into the board? I don't know.
Explain yourself, John.
Yeah. So I apologize. Landfield texted me the number because I'm subbing in for Jeff today, which I kind of do every day. But and so instead of I don't know, I just kind of had a brain fart, and instead of calling you from the phone line, I just called you from my cell, not realizing.
We look over and he's just like, "Hey, what's up, PFT?" We're like, "John, what the hell are you doing?" Sorry, dude. Sorry about that.
Oh man, yeah,
John, if things don't work out at 106.7 Fan, you let me know, because somebody that has the brain to pull off a move like that, they might fit in well around this office.
PFT, man. So I want to talk about a couple things. Obviously, this Jason Wright, Carson Wentz, Scott Abraham thing is popping off here in D.C. I don't know if you're aware of it yet, but I wanted to talk about two of your interviews this week on the Part of My Take podcast, which everybody should be listening to, and check out all PFT's work at PFT Commenter and Barstool Sports. Let's start with the Aaron Rodgers interview. I reckon that, like, what a triumph that is for you guys to get that, because of the back and forth, you know, between Big Cat and Aaron. What was it like getting to talk to Rodgers, getting to know Rodgers?
Okay, so I think I like Aaron Rodgers as a person. I think he's an interesting guy. He's a little standoffish. He's got a very dry sense of humor, but I kind of like him. And I don't like what he's done to Big Cat's brain. He's been tormenting one of my good friends for the last 10 years, so I can't support that. But I do think that he's a very interesting guy. I think that he's smart. He's got a weird kind of like undermining sense of humor. But he's also like, I think he takes himself pretty seriously too at the same time. So all in all, I think the interview went really well. Did not realize at the part where we asked him how many people he thinks that he's killed would be the big takeaway that made like the national news.
Right.
But basically the rule of thumb is like, if you can sit in a room and tolerate an adversarial interview with me and Big Cat and like laugh at yourself, then you'll usually come out looking pretty good, because we're going to be the ones that look like jerks going after you. So like, there's a difference. I think I did see the interview that you're talking about with Carson Wentz. So I watched the clips of that and I was thinking, like, you know, our job is pretty much to be jerks to everybody that we interview. But we do it kind of in like a winking way that lets the subject know that we know that we're bigger idiots than they are. Like, and ultimately, you know, all the stuff that we talk about when it comes to sports, we're kind of idiots for caring that much. We understand. I care a lot about sports, trust me, but I also realize how ridiculous it is, how much I care about it. So I can laugh at myself doing like a serious interview and make fun of some of the storylines that are going around, as opposed to just being like, "Hey, Carson, nobody likes you, and God says that he doesn't want you to be a Christian anymore. What do you think about that? Like, that is it's a little bit more uncomfortable than what we're used to. And to be fair, like, I think I'm on Jason Wright's side on this one. It was a unnecessarily hostile interview. I think there are better ways to do it. And my biggest problem actually isn't necessarily with the reporter. My biggest problem, I think, is with Carson Wentz not getting mad. He handled the questions like too much in stride. He just kind of like laid over and just got like put down by the reporter. So like, if I'm Carson Wentz, I would have liked to see him like show some fire at least in a situation like that, as opposed to handling with grace. I think he handled it with too much grace.
But think about this: if it didn't bother Carson, why should anybody be so upset? And I'm kind of on your side with the fact that his answers are always the same thing. I don't worry about this. I just do whatever I'm going to do. He never talks about bettering himself. He never talks about improving. But I don't think that's Jason Wright's job to sit there and do that. Because I'm sure you've been in a interview where you asked a question that was kind of standoffish. And the last thing you want to do is have the president of something calling you, which I don't think he should be much wasting his time with this right now, telling you that you won't have access.
Right. I agree. I think that it's not really his job. It doesn't need to be his job to police Carson Wentz's feelings. I agree with that 100%. But also on a human level, I kind of like the fact that he's like, this is a guy that I work with. I'm going to stick up for him. So I don't think that it's necessarily like, he probably shouldn't be like, I'm going to pull your credentials and all that stuff. But I like the reaction from Jason being angry and standing up for his guy. I think on a human level, that's good to see, as opposed to, you know, somebody that's being more calculated about it. I understand the reaction that he had. You know, he goes to work with this guy every day. Carson Wentz is a big part of the Commanders' success, especially going through this rebrand. It's a big year. So I feel like having a guy that is kind of your boss in a way, standing up for you like that, I think that goes a long way. Now, Carson can't just sit there and, like, with a smile on his face, hear people be like, hey, so you've sucked at camp this year. You sucked last year. And then before that, you sucked too in Philadelphia. What are your comments about that? It's not a normal human reaction to be like, well, you know, I try not to pay attention. I'd be like, dude, what the hell? Like, what do you mean I sucked? I threw 27 touchdowns and 7 interceptions last year. I've had some good practices. I'd like to see like a little bit more fire out of Carson Wentz. He's taking that love thy neighbor stuff a little too seriously, I think. I want to see some Old Testament Carson Wentz come out and throw some lightning bolts around.
Talking with our friend PFT commenter here on the BetQL guest line. Of course, you can listen to PFT on the Pardon My Take podcast. Check out all his stuff at PFT commenter. Have you seen Jason Wright and Florio have been going back and forth now? And Florio, I think unsurprisingly, stands up for the reporter. Here's my take on it. The questions are completely fair. I think you could take issue with the phrasing. And to say Indy didn't want you, Philly didn't want you is a little harsh, but it's not necessarily wrong.
Right.
But
yeah, no, I think that's the big thing. So you can ask these questions, but it was just so uncomfortable the way that it was asked that like I was cringing watching the interview just because I was like, yes, it's honest, but it's not honest in like a tactful way.
Yeah. You know, it's like unnecessarily honest, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Like I get the reasoning behind wanting to know the answers to those questions. I understand. But you can be like, so there were reports that you struggled earlier in camp. What do you do to try to like move forward from that? Or like, how do you try to adjust your mechanics in camp since you've been in the NFL for so long? Like, what can be corrected and what can't? There are ways to like put the mattress down before you shove somebody onto the ground, you know? So, and again, like I'm an idiot and I should not be giving out any advice on this because again, I did ask Aaron Rodgers how many people he killed a couple days ago. So like, I'm not, do as I say, not as I do on this one. But it was just, I think the problem is with Carson Wentz, he's become almost too sympathetic where it's like, it was like somebody was kicking a puppy around and it's like, no, don't do that. Come on, he's not hurting anybody.
To that point, I absolutely, anytime acquiring Carson has come up, Rivera goes out of his way to say how much they wanted him here. And this to me feels similarly like, the organization is making it clear how much they value their quarterback. Dan Snyder spoke to the Maryland Gaming Association this week and brought up, we finally have a quarterback. Like, there seems to be an organizational message that this is our guy and we love him.
Well, but what you have to push that because let's be real now. I mean, I know we like to jump to just the positive side, but when things seem like you're not praising him, he doesn't work well with that. So of course they're doing that. And I just think, listen, man, this is a grown ass man in a professional league where you're gonna be asked tough questions. He answered the questions the way he felt it should be, and he handled it well. I think at that point it should have been over. Right now it has turned into something that it should never have turned into, and I believe the president of the of the franchise. We start throwing out names of presidents of other franchises, you probably wouldn't know who they are, and that's how it needs to be. Jason needs to stay in his office, do his job, and nobody needs to know who he is. But don't think you have the right to just attack everybody because they ask a tough damn question.
I understand that entirely, but don't you think you mentioned that like inside that locker room when you see that like. The president of the entire organization is willing to have your back publicly because they get emotional about somebody that might be taking, you know.
To be totally honest with you, PFT, I never cared about the president of any of the teams I played for. I cared about the coaches and the players because those are the people that matter on the football field. And the only thing we control is what's happening on the football field. The president was making major deals to make sure that the franchise could make money. He wasn't doing a damn thing for me. So I never cared about the
president. Social media has changed some of that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's the problem, though. Some people need to understand social media is not for everybody. And if you're going to respond to everything on social media, get the hell off of social media.
I believe this, PFT, and I'm curious what you think. I think this was going away. I don't think this would have been. I think Jason engaging on it has made this a major story, whereas it was just going to be Carson did this interview and perhaps these questions were too harsh. Now it's a thing.
You're right. I think you're right about that. Last night I saw the video when it came out, and this morning I woke up, checked Twitter, and it, you know, there were a couple of people talking about it because it was a very direct interview. But obviously the team president getting involved now, Florio's, you know, he's off his chain a little bit, and Florio's in attack talk mode. They'll get a couple of days of content out of this. It's going to draw more attention to the interview than it originally got. So. It is like it's a bad situation that we're in where we're having to put kid gloves on with our starting quarterback before the season even starts. I totally get that. But on the other hand, I think that since like Carson Wentz seems to be an emotionally, shall we say, volatile or like a sensitive guy, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to have your team president like publicly having his back like this. Although maybe it's just going to be a may turn him into an even bigger head case because more attention is going to be paid right. to the video. And then people are going to be like, oh, you need your dad to come. You need your dad to call the coach and tell people, you know, like that's essentially what Jason Wright's doing. Like he's protecting Carson, but if you're a starting quarterback in the NFL, you probably shouldn't need protection from your boss against the media. But it's not an ideal situation.
You had an interview with Aaron Rodgers this week, and then you had an incredible interview that I listened to this morning with Jake Plummer. I imagine both those guys have faced some tough questioning, right? Like, especially Plummer kind of bounced around a little before he found real success in Denver. I don't think this situation would have ever happened with those dudes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're right. You're right. Like, this is a uniquely Carson Wentz situation that he's found himself in where he is facing these tough questions and also needs to have the praise and confidence from the president of the team. But yeah, it's not great. That's the bottom line. Nothing about this is good right now. I don't hate Jason's reaction to it because he reacted like emotionally and he's standing up for his guy. So while it might not be the best strategic thing to do, from, you know, giving more views and generating a bigger story, I understand the sentiment behind it. I don't think that he's out of line 100% in getting frustrated about it.
I'm with you. Here's my thing. Tomorrow is the debut of the Commanders. Like, it's the first time we're going to see them on the field in a game. They're going to play it's not a theme song, what the hell is it? Fight song. They're going to play the new fight song. As little planning as we do, our plan was to talk about the game tomorrow. Now we're just talking about this. Like, they're selling tickets for $1 to real NFL games, and we're talking about this.
Maybe that took that dollar for a ticket out of the damn media, out of the news.
maybe
that's embarrassing.
What do you want to see? I imagine you'll be watching. What do you want to see tomorrow?
Okay, my big thing for tomorrow is the new defensive line coach. And help me pronounce his last name. Is it Shikonia?
Skanina, which is Skanina. Not how it's spelled, but that's how it's said. Skanina.
Skanina. Okay, I'm going to be watching him because that dude looks like a football guy.
He is a unit,
anything about him. He's massive. I was at Broncos camp the other day, and I was on the sidelines, and Baldy was there from NFL Network. And so I walked up to Baldy, introduced myself. By the way, he's got a great handshake despite the pinky being out of line. It's a phenomenally strong grip. And I was like, Baldy, please tell me, just give me something good about the Commanders this year and their defensive line, because I thought we should have been great last year. And he was like, you know, this new guy, how do you say it again?
Skanina.
He was like, Skanina is a football guy through and through. I saw the picture of him. He was wearing athletic shorts with a belt on.
A black leather belt.
That is a damn football coach right there. That is like that. I don't know anything about the guy, but so far all signs are pointing to, like, let's pin our ears back and get back to what we were doing a couple years ago. And Baldy loves him. Baldy loves our defensive line still, again, this year, even though we got some injury issues. He still sees that as a strength of the team. And it's never a good thing to fire a defensive line coach, like, 2 weeks into camp. I don't know another time that's happened, or, you know, the real reason why it happened here. It's not a good thing, but at least the guy that we have stepping in the line feels like he could be somebody that could help us get back to that physical nature we had.
I believe the timing's incredibly weird. I think eventually it'll come out that something occurred. There was some event that pushed this. But I also think it's a good move for the organization. I kind of called for this move back in January when I thought there would be some staff changes. And it's always better to address a problem, even if you address a problem late. I know just from speaking with sources that the defensive line meeting room was not the happiest place to be, and there was some division there, and I think they all love Z, and this is an opportunity for them to now show, hey, we're really good. The problem was this other dude, so now they have to prove it on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that if we can just get back to some simpler stuff on the defensive line, those guys were so much fun to watch. It's such a treat to have when your defensive line is like the strength of your football team. It's actually fun to watch defense. When
they're just getting after it, hell yeah, totally. Last thing, PFT, I want to let you go. I was the Plummer interview. The Rodgers interview was more important. I understand that, but the Plummer interview is one of my favorite I've heard in a really long time. And I was talking to B. Mitch this morning about what Jake was saying about Pat Tillman, how he doesn't want to like capitalize on Pat anymore, and it seems like some people do that. My favorite thing was B. Mitch is like, man, that dude used to try to S-talk me, and I S-talked him right back.
Hell yeah. Didn't give a damn about what he was, what all other stuff. You're on the football field, I'm going to cook you. And I cooked him.
Yeah. Yeah, Tillman was he's a unique guy, and so you should always be suspicious if you hear somebody that's involved in politics at all bring up Pat Tillman's name, because they should not be speaking for him.
No.
Nobody knows how Pat would have felt about something. Like, you can't attribute something to an individual who's passed away. And also, I loved what Jake was saying about his hair. I'm going to start using that line. So Jake Plummer grew his hair out, and anytime somebody would give him crap about it, he would just remind them, hey, I grew this out actually for Pat Tillman because he was a good friend of mine. So if anybody gives me any crap for being a long-haired hippie, I'm just going to be like, I am actually wearing my hair for Pat Tillman, so you're the jerk in this interaction. That's my strategy. But Pat seems like he was a great friend, and that's what Jake was so interested to talk to Jake about Pat, because like Jake is universally loved by all of his former teammates, so much so to the point where I brought up that like if NIL was around when he was in college, he would have been a superstar.
Totally,
because he was at Arizona, he was at ASU for 4 years, and he was like, yeah, I would have loved having NIL just so I could like take my teammates out for nice dinners, and like he immediately just thought of how he would use that money on his buddies as opposed to like what a star he would have been. And he's a fascinating guy. And he had a very important message too, I think, about players that retire from the NFL. Something that as a fan, you don't really think about. Most players, when they stop playing football, they go through a traumatic experience of being told that they can't do what they've done their entire life. And if you're in that situation and you're cut, and you're not ready to give up the game of football yet, then that's something that's going to make you angry for, you know, the next year, possibly years, maybe even the rest of your life, you might carry around some bitterness about that moment. And Jake has done a great job of like counseling other players and trying to help them out and being open and honest with his struggles and his discussions. And he's just a very, very cool, like a breath of fresh air. So he was actually more fun for me to interview, I think, than Aaron Rodgers was. Although Aaron was that was like its own unique thing where the build up to that had been so long. But Jake Plummer, he's one of the coolest guys I've ever met in my life.
Dude, the Rodgers interview was important. The Plummer interview was interesting and awesome and entertaining. Kind of makes me want to take some mushrooms, too. I'm not going to lie to you.
So everybody says, like, oh, when you guys hiked up that mountain, you took psychedelic mushrooms. You must have gotten those from Jake Plummer. Actually, no, we got those from a fan that came to our meet and greet.
We have a guy dropping us off soup at noon. Maybe he'll bring us some psychedelics.
at this meet and greet, we got given every type of drug there is, and I have no idea why. We had to just give away all the drugs that we got because we're going to fly back with them. But to the thing about Jake Plummer, he's growing mushrooms that are not psychedelic in nature. So he doesn't want to get raided by, like, the FBI or anything like that. There's a little bit of that going around. But, no, all of his mushrooms are just, like, they're just gourmet and different strands. I don't even know how to explain. He's got lion's mane, all these different kinds that have health benefits, and he's a very, very interesting guy, but no psychedelics on his farm.
Dude, thank you for the time. Always appreciate
PFT,
it, man.
Take care, brother.
All right, have a good weekend, guys.
You too, man. That's our guy, PFT Commenter. Give him a follow at PFT Commenter. Check out the Part of My Take podcast. That Jake Plummer interview is awesome. Let's hit these phones.
Yeah.
800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Your reaction to the questions of Carson Wentz and Washington Commanders team president Jason Wright's response next.
Hey, it's B-Mitch with my friends at Elite Shooting Sports in Manassas. I was actually there yesterday, and a lot of my friends visit all the time. Check them out during National Shooting Sports Month this August. Spend time on their climate control ranges, shoot ducks or zombies on their state-of-the-art TI training simulator, or take a class. Elite Shooting Sports offers competitive pricing on firearms, accessories, and popular brand ammunition, often beating online retailers. Open 7 days a week, Elite Shooting Sports is committed to one goal of providing a safe and inviting environment for everyone to enjoy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Channel 7, Scott Abraham made a whole lot of news by asking this question of Commanders quarterback Carson Wentz.
Real talk here, Carson. It's been well documented. Philly didn't want you. Indy didn't want you. Do you think this is your last chance to prove that you can be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, I don't really think about all that stuff. For me, I'm playing the game that I love, and I have the most confidence of anybody in myself to deliver, to play at a high level, to be a part of something special here with this team. And so I don't put all that pressure on myself. I don't put, you know, people can feel that way. People can say what they want, and I have no issue with that. You know, that is what it is. But for me, I don't think in those terms.
All right. I think you can argue with the phrasing, certainly, but I don't believe Scott did anything wrong. What has made this really big news now is that Commanders team president Jason Wright responded via social media. He said, "Thankfully, Carson demonstrated grace and class in response to this pompous, unprofessional mess. I recognize you have made a living on childlike provocation, but it needs to be called out. Don't expect special access and good luck building rapport with the guys." That is a strong, strong reply. this has created a whole brouhaha. And I think it would have just gone away. And now you got something. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kev?
Hey, fabulous Friday, boys. Goodness gracious. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. You know, in a city that specializes in pompous and unprofessional behavior by our so-called leaders, I mean, the Commanders are the poster child from Snyder to Wright. It's just the most thin-skinned, immature, insular organization. And this happens when you drink your own bathwater. And it's incredible to me because, you know, Wright played in the NFL. And now he's as soft as Charmin as the team Snyder has been putting out for 20 years. And so it begs the question to me, is this coming from Dan? I mean, is Jason just Dan's mouthpiece? Because this sounds more like something Dan would say. Oh, by the way, as he stumbled over his words earlier this week, talking about, oh, we finally found our quarterback. There he goes again, over-promising and likely under-delivering. I mean, it's just so consistent. They cannot stay out of their own way. Sonny Jurgensen called them this gang that can't shoot straight. And here we go again. It's just so predictable. And here we are. We're talking about this and Dan stumbling about trying to get a sport book at FedEx and not the Commanders playing the Panthers tomorrow. It's sickening being a part of this fan base. I really am just so fed up.
Thank you for the call, Kevin. That was strong. Listen, he's 100% right that we're now talking about this instead of the Panthers tomorrow.
It is the story, though.
Dude, and they've created it. Mm-hmm. I think I know this. We wouldn't have been playing this clip if the team president didn't respond to it. This wouldn't have been on our radar. I didn't know any of this existed until his tweet. Did you?
I didn't know.
Maybe Lanfield did because he's a producer and always looking for content. But
I actually saw the interview last night and thought nothing of it. And what I left saying was, he handled that perfectly. Okay? That is what you do when you are the person that plays in the position that asks the most questions, that has the most scrutiny. Somebody's going to ask you a question that you're not comfortable with, but you answer it and you move from it and you move on.
Carson handled it completely fine.
He didn't need any more of this stuff. But like, I love to hear people like, well, he's defending him. So you need the front office guy to defend you when you're a professional football player. When the hell did that come about?
I also think, I don't think he ever would, but like if Ron Rivera had sent that tweet, would make a little more sense to me. Like it's the coach sticking up for his guy. At best, it's odd, I think, at best.
Listen, man, let's hit this straight. When you sign your NFL contract, you know what you also sign? You also have to give up interviews and ask questions. And guess what? All of them are not going to be 100%. Just like whenever I started doing media in this town, people get mad when you say something that everybody else is not saying. I'm paid for my damn opinions. I'm not paid for somebody else's opinions. And everything is not always positive. So you have to discuss the negatives as well. And I think if people, listen, man, I would say the word, but I don't know if I get in trouble with it. But it's the making this country softer, you know. And I used to say it a lot on radio. It's the wussification of what's going on. We got all these grown ass men in these tough areas having someone who's probably softer than you trying to take up for you. The only power there is I'm gonna take away your credentials. You can't really take the access. If they did not do nothing drastically wrong, believe me, when by the time it gets to the NFL and you got some of these major corporations, you can't take that access. It makes no sense. That's where I'm coming from with it. I think Carson handled it the way it's supposed to be handled, and I think it should have been over at that
Carson
point.
Carson was a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Got this tweet from Robert Brown. It's a stressful environment that the organization has created. They can't get out of their own way. The more they say things change, the more they stay the same. Mm. Let's go to PJ. He's been on hold for a while. PJ, what up, man?
Hey, guys. So here's the thing. On principle, I agree with the two of you that, you know, Jason Wright, really, it's a little uncool to be like, yo, I'm going to reprimand the media if you do this. But here's the other side of it. It's not that the guy, the reporter, doesn't have, like, a right to ask it. He's got a right to ask it. My question is, you know, I've heard this same song and dance, the same question be asked Carson Wentz about 45 times. Now, it can be asked 3 times, it can be asked 5 times, but over the last 2 months, if I'm a reporter and I'm there every day, like, JP, you're a good reporter, not only would you phrase this question to Carson Wentz in a much more logical, smart way, you also wouldn't continually ask him the same thing. If you see 10 reporters ask Carson Wentz over a 5-day span the same question, on the 11th day, as a reporter, why are you asking the same question? Think of another question to ask. So
I think that's why he asked it in a different way.
Imagination.
I think that's exactly why he went to the way he did it, because this is a problem that I think most people in the media and most people that work for these franchises don't understand. That reporter has somebody telling him to go get a story, and they want that story on their station as well. So right. I can't ask the question the exact same way JP asked it.
Right.
I got to ask it in a different way. And let's basically say what it is. We feel that, oh, no, you're supposed to always make the person feel so comfortable when you're asking a question. Sometimes that's not what I'm trying to find out. I want to find out really exactly how you feel about this. People are discussing this. This is exactly what's being said. What's your opinion on that? And I think that's the way he went with it. Because I've learned a long time ago, trying to be somebody else takes away from who you are. Ask the question the way you want to ask it.
The person that handled everything incredibly well? Carson Wentz. Another guy that handles everything incredibly well? Paul Henry. Paul Henry's windows, redid all the windows in my house, cut down my electric bill in the summer because the cold air stays in. My house is way warmer in the winter. We used to have to hang a blanket over one of our old leaky-ass windows. The blanket is gone. I look at the sunshine now. Paul Henry will take care of you like he took care of me because he takes care of people like they're his family. B. Mitch, I know you've had a ton of success with Paul, too.
I had a ton of success with Paul, and I went into the thing thinking exactly what I felt should happen. And you know what Paul did? He told me directly in my face, that's not going to work. I didn't get upset about it. I took the professional and I listened to him. And I began to ask questions to him. He told me what type of windows I needed. He did my whole house. And I felt so good about what he did. I'm now getting him to do my detached garage with windows coming out of my family room. Last night, me and my wife started noticing it was getting a little warm upstairs. You know, I think the air is about to go out. So made our phone call to who needs to fix that. But then what I did, Paul, the windows are so easy to raise up and down. You could tilt them in, tilt them out. I did that. The room felt like I had the air conditioner on all night. So Paul not only changes up your look of your house, he changes up the price you're paying for your utility bill. And in a tough situation, he made things a lot easier. So you can give Paul a call right now at 540-359-6842 to receive 100% off each window with the 5-window minimum and up to $500 off each door. Contact Paul Henry's Window Installation today. PaulHenry'sWindows.com. You're clear. Home improvement choice.
Phone lines are lit up. A lot of people support Jason Wright standing up for Carson Wentz. A lot of people think it was inappropriate. Let's go to the phone lines. MGM National Harbor listener lines. Let's start with my guy Radio. Radio, what up?
What up, man? Voice is back, man. Hey, B. Mitch, how you feel, man?
He's good.
He's good. He's good. Yeah, I think Carson Wentz, man, we talk about rebuild and we talk about character. That's a situation, I don't care where you're from, how you're raised, or what your lifestyle is. That just shows that man has great character. And that's exactly what we need and what we're trying to accomplish here. So, you know, he is awesome. I'm so blessed that we have him on a part of the roster. But I don't have a problem with Wright standing up for Carson. We need people that show leadership and stand up for these players. I don't like the way he did it. He went from, at that point, Carson being a victim, which he still is, to making it about you and the media, and it was really about Carson. I really would have liked him to stand up and just address the issue and say, hey, we're always here to support our players. You know, we're it's a blessing to have Carson on this roster, something like that. But I will say, you know the media better than we do, JP. So I wanted to ask you, because you do a lot of interviews with these players. Even B-Mitch does interviews. How do you guys, when you're getting ready to go and interview, you know, these players, What does that process look like for fans like us, like on the outside looking in? Like, do you have a script that you're allowed to ask questions for, things you're not allowed?
No. Some people may do that. If you ever go into an interview with a confined list of what you're allowed to talk about, I won't take those interviews. You're agreeing to me ask you questions. I'm going to ask you what I want. Here's the situation. Thank you for the call, Radio. Appreciate you, buddy. Here's what happens. Everybody gets a one-on-one. The one-on-ones are a big deal, right? So every local outlet gets one. Mm-hmm. And this was Seven's turn. And there's questions you got to ask. Even though they've been asked a bunch, this is your chance to have it one-on-one and you make it look real shiny for your television program.
Your viewers haven't looked at the other stations.
Exactly. You approach it as an individual entity, right? So that's why the questions get asked. Shout out to our guy, Will Ferguson, by the way. We got the soup. We appreciate it. I'm feeling better. B. Mitch took a ginger ale. We ate the weird Vietnamese egg rolls. They were quite good. There's like mint in them.
They were off the chain.
Yeah, they were banging. Landfill's having some pho. We're enjoying ourselves. Thank you, Willie. Appreciate you, buddy. Let's keep these phone lines going. Richmond John on the line. What up, Johnny?
Johnny. It was good to talk to Lindsey John.
He's famous.
As the call screener. That's pretty... That's pretty surprising. Hey, so I actually agree with B. Mitch. Like, there's a delicate balance there. Well, this is me, but I agree with his sentiment that, you know, reporters have to ask questions. But I think there's a delicate balance. And JP, you know, not to blow sunshine up your butt, but I mean, you're really, really good at that. And I've told you that offline. I've told you that online. You find that delicate balance. And what bugs me about the other guy, and I don't want to put him on blast, is actually I remember him at a charity event with John Wall during the John Wall Foundation, and he doubled down on a couple of questions about his issue with the Wizards or requesting a trade, and I thought it was like really out of place. So to me, this must be coming somewhere from Jason Wright, knowing a couple of things behind the scenes that like he's got a reputation as a reporter. When I saw it, I was like, oh, those are tough questions, but it was actually a really good interview and Wentz did a really good job. So I don't know that I would have done what Jason Wright did and come out and put him on blast, like on social media, because then you're just creating further division. But I don't know. It's just really odd.
Thank you for the call, Johnny. I agree with you. All it does is make more people listen to the interview. And it just...
Yeah. Listen, man. I know I've been in this town. I've been being interviewed and interviewing people probably longer than most. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I've learned a long time ago where people start trying to control the message. You can't control the message when it's coming from other people. And there are a lot more times where people are questioned by what they ask than you ever hear of. This may be the first time anybody has ever seen Jason say something about somebody. Not the first time. And it's been other people before him who did the same things. Why? Because they want it to be like what they want it to be. The player handled it perfectly. Sometimes you need to just get the hell out the way and let the player be the man who he is. He handled the thing perfectly.
It was going away.
The threat and all that stuff was unnecessary. But the questions are not going to always be easy, sure. Soft balls. It's not going to be that way. And if things are going great, yeah, people want to do stuff. But when things aren't going good and then you're trying to threaten people and then you wonder why people don't give you the benefit of the doubt, that's a problem.
Now, to Jason's credit, after his first tweet, which really went hard, right? Don't expect special access and good luck building rapport with the guys. He followed it up with, and it's not that the guys can't take criticism. Just be a journalist and follow standard practices. Others have found a way to do both. And he quote tweeted a story by Mike Jones, who we're friends with and know from the USA Today, who asked Wentz some tough questions, but I think did it more tactfully. We got a bunch of callers here. I'm going to try to take one quick. My guy Dan is in Rockville. What up, Danny?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. This just shows the way I compartmentalize this team now. There's the Commander's way and the Redskins way. Commander's way is you sign your best receiver, you fire a coach that isn't working. Redskins way, you get on social media and draw attention to yourself. You go
all about saying what how great the crowds will be, and that's the only way I can look at things. Compartmentalize and have a positive way.
Let's go back. You saying the Redskins way is the media driven chasing after success? I don't buy that.
No, the Redskins way is we do things wrong. We draw attention to ourselves. We don't focus on football. We have all these non-football issues the way they've gone the last 15, 20 years. The Commanders' way is we are now trying to focus on football, do the right things, get our team going. And you can sort of see what's going on which way. And that's the only way I can deal with this stuff, just the way I think about it. And
thank you for the call, man.
So that's good stuff with the Redskins to say it like that.
It's tough because
I think it's more of the new way.
Let's call a spade here. It's the Snyder way. We'll be right back. Doc Walker's joining us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.